Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as you can see by my sermon, today is about law and gospel. You know, I talk about law and gospel in here a lot. But there's a reason for that, too. When I became a pastor, as part of the vows that I took, there were seven of them. And one of them was to preach, teach, and confess the proper distinction between law and gospel. And Pastor Don, what I did, I actually went back to the historic vows of Lutheran pastors on that one. Proper distinction between law and gospel. Well, as I've said in here before, you know, I simplify it pretty much for you. You know, law is what we do, gospel is what we receive. If you can remember that much, you're doing pretty good. But one of the things that is so important, and Peggy and I talk about this a lot, because she calls herself the "but why" girl. But why is it that way? Okay, that's a good question. You know, I can tell you things, but there is a reason we do things. And today, I think, is a good day to touch on that, because pull up the psalm today. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. You know, and this talks about, I do not turn aside from your rules, verse 102, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. All right. That is a first covenant. All right, now I say that. Last week's reading actually talked about first covenant, second covenant. Okay, and I thought, should I do this then? And I looked at the reading for today, and I thought, no. You know, this is the day that I need to talk about this. What is the difference between the first covenant and the second covenant? How many of you ever heard, I know I've said it in here, but besides me, how many of you ever heard first covenant or second covenant? It's good we're doing this then. The first covenant is the covenant that God made with Abraham. You know, I shall be your God, you shall be my people, you will be circumcised. Then Moses, he gave the Ten Commandments. Now, of course, we don't want to just have Ten Commandments. We need to have a few more. So instead of ten, we got 613. We want to make sure we got everything covered. I went to a Jewish high school, so I could do something like that. But folks, when we start talking about that, can you keep 613 laws? How many did God give us? 10. Too bad Jeff's not here, because Jeff said something one time, and I've quoted him numerous times. Why do we have 613? Because people like rules. Rules are easy to follow. You don't have to think, what would Jesus want me to do? All right? So if A happens, I do B. Is that our religion? No. It's a Jewish religion. You know, the Jewish religion, you even had to have permission. All right, on the Sabbath, you have a mule or a donkey that falls into a well. You have to have permission to pull the donkey or mule out of the well. Oh, come on, folks. I mean, why do you have to have special, and why is there a law, you know, telling you the procedure to do that? You know, and that's what the first covenant is about the laws and rules. Now, second covenant, what's that about? Well, Jesus gave us two commandments. What are they? Okay. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now, if I have those three at the end turned around, I apologize. But when we look at those, there's not a lot of rules, are there? Okay. So what happened? I mean, we had to keep the law perfectly for salvation. But man had made it so there was no salvation. Well, how can you be saved if there's no salvation? So God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us so that we might have everlasting life with Him in heaven. John 3:16. I mean, we look at that, and that is important. Gene, the other night during a speech on Christmas Eve, said that it was God on the cross. It is God on the cross. It's Jesus, but it's still God. You remember we have three creeds we do. We have the Apostles' Creed. Today we're doing the Nicene. And then on Trinity Sunday we do that real long one, you know, Athanasius' Creed. But in that one we talk about the equality between all three. You know, God is God, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. God is Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Holy Spirit is Jesus. See what I'm getting at on that? All those things are even. All right, so we have that first covenant, which is law. And God said, I never intended 613 laws. We're going to get rid of it. Now, here's the thing. Doesn't God know? I mean, isn't He all-knowing? Sure He did. He knew this was going to come. And that's why He knew, too, that He had to send part of Him to die for us. Because it had to be a perfect sacrifice to end. All right? So, Jesus went to the cross, died for us, paid the price. Remember, to redeem is to ransom. I mean, there has to be an equity in that. And so, Jesus died on that cross for you and me. All right, well, so why is this important? Well, when Luther was looking at the things that were going on in the Roman Catholic Church, I mean, we're coming out of the time with 50 to 75 years earlier where we have the Borgias who are poisoning people to get jobs in the church. The papacy and cardinals, you could pay money and become a cardinal even if you weren't religious. Okay, there's actually a word for that. And so when all this stuff was going on, Luther looked at that. He went to Rome, and he thought, there's nothing loving or religious here at all. You know, so what do you do? Well, you got to remember that all of the first reformers are all Catholic priests. Because they're looking at this, too. You know, 200 years before Luther was Thomas Aquinas. Okay, St. Thomas Aquinas. He is quoted 47 times in the Book of Concord. Well, 47 times he must have said something important. Yeah, he did. He was the first that wanted a reformation in the Roman Catholic Church. Then the next person we have is John Huss. How many of you know that almost all of Czechoslovakia and Poland were Protestant? Okay, 100 years before Luther. Roman Catholic Church sent an army in. And outside of Prague, they burned 100,000 people at the stake. In fact, they said the light was so bright, it was like the light of day from the funeral, from the fires that were going on. Well, one of the things that Luther did is when he went to Wittenberg, was where John Huss was. And all of Huss's writings were there. Folks, we're not Lutherans, we're Hussites. Okay? It's really important. So, when Luther started reading that, he started bringing into what he called the law and the promises. You got to remember that Christianity was called the promise before it was called Christianity. Okay, that was the name of the religion. We were called Christians by the Romans who were trying to be derogatory because we're followers of that Christ person. Okay, it's just like Lutherans. We were called Lutherans by the Roman Catholics because we followed Martin Luther. What did Luther want to be called? Catholic. Okay, how many times have I talked about being Catholic in here? We're evangelical Catholic. So when this happened, There were a lot of people that came on the bandwagon with Luther. And one of his friends, one of the earliest reformers, was a man by the name of Johann Agricola. And he lived in Wittenberg in 1536. And so when Luther was there, he got to be friends with this man. However, almost immediately, there began a controversy. It had begun 10 years before. Now, Agricola was a Catholic priest, okay? But he said, if we're going to have salvation in the gospel, why do we need the law at all? We can just throw it out. And he was one of the ones who was in favor of totally getting rid of the Old Testament. Well, we gave a name to what Agricola was doing. It's called antinomian. Okay? Antinomian. Anti means what? Against. Okay? Nomian. Nom. Name. Against the name. Okay? Well, there were some other things of doing that. But what Agricola said is that non-Christians were still held to Mosaic law. Christians were entirely free from it, being under the gospel alone. And when Luther says, now wait a second, okay, even Ephesians talks about the difference between law and gospel. And I can tell that this is probably a little too deep for you, but it's important to know. Anyway, Agricola attacked Luther on this. Wrote a couple treatises against him. So even though Agricola had given Luther, you know, a place to live in Wittenberg, after that Luther had nothing to do with him. So, according to Agricola, is the Ten Commandments, are they important or not? No. But yet, who gave us the Ten Commandments? God. Who is man to throw them out? See what I'm getting at here? Okay. So we still have the law. Agricola is the one that came up that was the first one to say, once saved, always saved. You ever heard that before? Agricola said that. So after you're saved, there's no way you can sin. You believe that? See what I'm getting at? And that's where, again, a heresy came into the church. So, when we're looking at the difference, you know, as I took that oath to teach, preach, and confess the proper distinction between law and gospel, it's because the law demands obedience to God. Now, we've all gone through, for the most part in here, the small catechism. What does the small catechism say about law? There's three things. Anybody remember? First thing is, it's a curb. Why? So we trip over it and remind us, you know, you did something wrong. Second thing, it's a mirror, because we look in the mirror and see we're still a sinner. That hadn't gone away. And the third thing is, it's a guide. What is the guide? To take us to the gospel. Does the law save? No. Does the gospel save? Okay. So when we're talking salvation, salvation comes through the gospel. But yet, do we need the law? Are we sinners? Every single one of us sitting in here is a sinner. Even me. I'm the chief sinner in charge. CFIC. But, I said that at a church in Titusville when I was there, and somebody took real offense at that. Well, you're the pastor. Still a sinner. You know, I try not to, but it's just the way it is. There's a thing that pastors do, it's called hermeneutics. And hermeneutics is how we study the Bible, especially as we're going to study it in order to preach it, like I'm doing today. Well, I think this Bible interpretation that is so important, because under Jewish law, they still operate under the old covenant, first covenant. Under Christianity, we operate under the second covenant. So we don't have to follow all 613 laws. We don't have to do burnt offerings. See where I'm going with this? That's first covenant stuff. How is a burnt offering going to save you from anything? It's not. Okay? Salvation comes from the cross. It comes from Jesus' holy, precious blood. You know, the catechisms say you redeem by his holy, precious blood, not by gold or silver. Okay? Remember 2 weeks ago I did that sermon on the blood of Jesus? So when we're talking about Jesus' blood, it's really important. Formula of Concord, if you look over there, I've actually got the Book of Concord. And if you ever want to thumb through it, it's important. It's got the Augsburg Confession in it. In other words, Augsburg Confession is what Luther sat down and wrote along with Philip Melanchthon, that they gave to the emperor. Here's what we believe and why we believe it, what we think is wrong. Okay? 24 points. Okay, 24 articles. And the thing that's interesting is as you go through the formula of Concord, the epitome, all this other stuff, everything works off of those 24 articles. So if you want to learn about Article 1, you can go through all the writings and just look at Article 1 that are in there. Okay, it keeps you, you know, a way to organize it. But it says this. The law was given to men for three reasons. First of all, that thereby outward discipline might be maintained against the wild, disobedient men, and that wild and intractable men might be restrained as though by certain bars. How did Luther put that into the Small Catechism? It's a curb. Why? It's a lot easier to understand, isn't it? What's the second one? Mirror, okay? That men thereby may be led to knowledge of their sins. You know, we're all sinners. Okay? And third, it's the guide that after they regenerate, remember that salvation is through regeneration. Okay? When you go through baptism, what happens? You're regenerated with the Holy Spirit. They might have a fixed rule according to which they regulate and direct their whole life. What's that fixed rule that we regulate and direct our whole life? What's the guide lead us to? The gospel. All right, now, of course, they had to make it hard to understand because it's theologically written. You know, but what it boils down to is the law needs to be used by Christians. Are we still under the law? Yes, but not the same way it is in the first covenant. You with me? Okay. Once we are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, when you have baptism, what is baptism? Anybody remember from when we went through the catechism? What do we call it when the bad spirits are thrown out and a good spirit enters? Say it again. True. What else? What happened to the kid in well, it's that movie that the girl gets possessed by a demon. And, huh? No. It's the one with Linda Blair. Exorcist. Okay? Baptism is an exorcism. That's when the bad spirits are thrown out and you're entered by the Holy Spirit. How many of you knew that? I've talked about it in here before, but that's what it is. Okay? In fact, Luther has what he calls his flood prayer that's in it. You know, when we talk about the flood and that kind of thing, Luther wrote that 500 years ago. Okay, but it's because it's an exorcism. And it's an exorcism for anybody that goes through that at all. So, as we run into this, we are dealing with Agricola's influence on our religion. And when we get in the third article of the Creed, you know, I cannot by my own reason or strength know my Lord Jesus or come to him, but I've been called by the gospel. That's why that's in there that way. Because we need the law, if so it leads us to being called by the gospel. It's so nice to have you back here today because I have you in my sermon. And it's all good. It's all good. How many of you have heard Pastor Don talk about his need for salvation? I mean, almost every time he comes up here or he does something, what does he talk about? Salvation. Okay? He needs the Lord's Supper. We all need the Lord's Supper. Without the law, do we need the gospel? Because if we can't sin, then you're always saved, right? Once saved, always saved. No, we've got to have that. We need the law to lead us to the saving grace of the gospel. Does that answer the but why of why we do things the way we do? Because without law, there's no gospel. Without gospel, there's no law. It's two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other. Because you have to have it that way. This is why we gladly have the Ten Commandments and we try and follow them. God gave us those. And to honor God, we try and honor the Ten Commandments. Don't you think that's a good guide to live by? Well, folks, thank you for letting me teach, preach, and confess about law and gospel today. You know, it's one of those things, is it a little bit deeper for a sermon? Yeah, it is a little bit different. Deeper for a sermon. But I think you now have a little bit richer understanding of why we do things the way we do. And my friends, may this knowledge of salvation keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.